This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Because of the last few weeks, the Lord has insisted that we go through a journey of meditation. And I understand from so many feedbacks I got that many people don't understand how to do this. They've read about it, but they've not practiced it. Or they are not used to practicing it. In this world where everything moves at speed of light and everybody is in a hurry to get somewhere, the ability to be still is almost lost, or something that people find quite difficult to do. However, if we are going to hear and be a part of God's plan for the coming days, we cannot only exist to tell the Lord the things we want without hearing from Him the things He wants us to do. If I say I've yielded my life to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide me, and all I do is acknowledge Him, that is, bring Him to a point of notice in my affairs, but I do not allow Him to dictate to me and instruct me and show me the plans He has, I wouldn't be able to fit into those plans. God is not meant to be subjected to our own plans. We are meant to look at God's grand plan and see the role we will play in it. This is the key to living a fulfilled life, living a life in which you know for sure you are doing God's will. It is important, therefore, to learn how to meditate. Some of the songs that I played before we started this discussion are songs that I use when I want to meditate. But these are personal to me. All of us do not get processed into the things of the Spirit using the same process. Sometimes I use scriptures, read them out loud several times, lay down, and then I play songs like this. Songs that talk about, sometimes I do hymns, sometimes I do this kind of songs. Sometimes I do some other kind of song, sometimes instrumentals. And the reason I do that was because of the ability of the mind to wander. I particularly have a mind that seems to have the ability to just go where it wants. And when I was much younger, it used to be a problem. Whenever I was praying, or whenever I was seeking the face of God, or whenever I just wanted to be in God's presence, the next thing I know, my mind would just go off tangent, just be going. And to restrain the mind when you are still is hard work, because it is now in the mental space, and the mind does not want to be still. The mind is always churning in and out information, and the mind is never still. However, what you want to do is to bring your mind into focus. and just lay that heart upon the Lord. That's all you want to do. You do not want to say, I'm meditating, you are laying down, or you are sitting down meditating, and all your meditation is on, where will I get the next money for this business? Or what will I tell my husband when he comes back? Or I have seen people meditate on evil. I'm not joking. I've seen people meditate on evil, and I've seen the vast wickedness that they do simply by meditating on evil. The Bible said a wicked man will sit down in his room, think up a thought in his head, say it out of his mouth, and then he will accomplish it. First time I saw it in the book of Proverbs, my legs were shaking. That somebody can sit down in his room and the person can just think of something. Somebody can just sit in his room and say, it is possible for a man to be a woman. It is possible for a man to be a woman. He's thinking it, thinking it, thinking it. Then he begins to say it with his mouth. And next thing, he takes a Bible, a pen and a paper, and he begins to write all sorts. And he begins to cook up lies. Oh, some chimpanzees in their evolution, some goats in their evolution, dogs in their evolution. And before you know it, it becomes a paper that is spread all over the world. These are products of dangerous, dangerous meditations. And Christians who are supposed to meditate to bring in the beautiful things of heaven, to show the world the way of salvation, to show them the beauty that we have in Christ, we leave meditation to others. We leave it because every religion practices meditation. The problem is the other religions do not belong to God. So therefore, they meditate upon evil things. If you hear people sitting down saying, oh, somebody plotted a coup, it's a product of meditation. Somebody starting a refinery is a product of meditation. Hours upon hours of thoughts has gone into that action that the person is now taking. It is not the person just wake up and say, I want to do this. No. Person sat down. There will be plans. There will be a lot of talk. There will be, where would this come from? Where would that? And before you know it, a thought that wasn't would become real. Something that never existed would first exist in the realm of the mind, in the realm of the soul, and then when action is taken upon it, it becomes real. And this is why when God speaks to us, He speaks to us in our spirit. Our spirit takes information to our soul, and then it will be as if that thing grips us. Until you do it, you have no rest. Because that thought will be prevailing. It will be prevailing. It will be fighting to be born. And then next thing you know, you are like, okay, I'm starting a company. By the grace of God, I was at an event yesterday to commission a business. And when the visionary of the business began to speak, I realized the power of meditation, how the Lord will say to somebody, do this. And the person will say, I have no rest. I began to go here, I began to go there. And within a month, that which I just indicted as a thought in my heart has been established. And it was established to the point where it was so established and now stable, people are benefiting off it. Then the Lord then told the same person, take it a step higher. You now have to do it in a way that it is not just serving a community, that would become a national thing. And the person has taken the step as a result of meditation, because when you meditate, you see the plan of God. When you worry, you see your plan. You see the issues. But when you meditate, you flow outward. When you worry, you flow inward. You bring in data into your brain space and you begin to see how you put the data together. That is worry. You begin to see how the dots are not connected. That is worry. But you go into your space without anything in your heart. And then you begin to churn out dreams, begin to churn out instructions, begin to churn out possibilities and realities. And this is the place of meditation, and this is how God speaks to us. Meditation is important for two main reasons. A lot of people like to pray, but you see, when your car breaks down, you can pray. You see, you don't have to meditate. You can just get down and say, okay, what do I do here? And fix it. Prayer does that. Meditation is another kind of prayer. Meditation is what you do before you buy a car. When you had no penny in your pocket and you desire to have a car, then you sit down and then you begin to think. Now, I'm not talking about God speaking to you, I'm talking about you inducting a thing. Begin to think, how do I get a car? And then you think of this thing, and eventually you have a strong thought. You put it to work, you get the fund, you buy a car. All of us do this. The problem is a lot of us do not understand what it means to go back to the drawing board and build upward again. It is the life we are living before and all the flaws in it that we just want to fix. For example, if you are here and you are suffering from a trauma, yo, my daddy abused me when I was young. When I was young, somebody raped me. When I was young, somebody molested me. When I was young, I grew up under in a place where there is domestic violence. When I was young, I grew up in the ghetto, and all the attending dangers of a corrupt environment. The first thing you have to do is what we call a renewal of mind. You cannot renew your mind without meditation. When you are renewing your mind, you are going to subject your whole consciousness to scrutiny. You are going to see, ask yourself questions. Why do you act this way? Why do you respond this way? Why do you behave this way? Why do you do this? Why is this a recurring theme in your relationships? Why is it that when you have a friend, you cannot keep a friend because you always do this? Why? Then when you ask yourself those questions, then you look at it, okay, then make resolutions. I will be more tolerant. I will be more patient. I will not be quick to speak anymore. I will not throw fits of anger anymore. I will not be insecure anymore. I will not be suspicious anymore. I will no longer assume the worst of people. I'm going to rest in the Lord. Then, when you make these decisions, you will see that you begin to counter your old impulsive reactions and belief system. That's what we call course adjustment. And this then makes you a better person. A lot of people don't bother doing this, and they end up bleeding into everything they touch because they are wounded from their past. When a soldier is wounded, the best thing for him to do is to tend to himself and seek help, so that it will suture the place and heal before moving on. A soldier who is bleeding and continues to go hug his daughter, hug his son, hug his wife without treatment, you will bleed on them. You will stain them with your blood. You will cause all sort of harm to them because you didn't take time to address issues. I speak to the singles among us. I speak also to the married. I speak to those who are single parents. I speak to the ones who are widows. I speak to the young and I speak to the old. Everyone under the sound of my voice, at every point in time, you need to sit down. You need to relax. You need to be still. You need to allow the word of God to wash over you and heal you and make you better, so that you will not continue a pattern that will then mark your life for the next 30, 40, 50 years. People write to me, I'm this age, I'm that age. There is a recurring theme. When you see that there's a recurring theme in your life, this thing always happen. This thing always happen. You ask yourself good questions. A lady wrote to me yesterday, said, but Agwenga, you can't believe it. Every year, close to my birthday, my relationships fail. And I knew why. So I said to her, I said, you are somebody who likes gifts. She said, yes, that's my love language. I like giving gifts and I like receiving gifts. I said, do you understand why your relationship then do not survive your birthday? She said, why? I said, because you then expect the other party to do something lavish for you on your birthday, to buy you this, to buy you that. If the person does not do up to your expectation, you are disappointed, and therefore you begin to see the person as less, as if the person does not value you. If you, because you like to give gifts, if you have gone all out and given gifts worth so much to the person, and then on your birthday the person does not do as much as you did, you will see that you will begin to have second thoughts. She said, oh, that's true. You got it right. I said, so what will you do now? She said, I don't know. God will bring me. I said, no. No. You have to then sit down and look at it and say to yourself, hey, I have built too much stock on things. Things are not true value of who I am. That somebody can buy me an iPhone does not mean that the person is good or that the person is evil. That somebody cannot afford to buy it for me does not mean the person is good or the person is evil. I am the one that has put my focus on material things. And because of that, it is affecting how I relate with people, how I measure people. I said, this is not how to measure people. You have to sit down, talk to yourself, meditate, and correct this thing. If you correct this thing, you will notice that your next relationship, there will be no problem. There will be no expectations. There will be no disappointment. There will just be joy. If we don't do this kind of introspection, we will not become better people. If we don't sit down and think like this, we will not make new decisions. We are in a season of new beginnings, which means we must learn to let go of the old. We cannot continue in the same pattern we have continued, especially if it has not worked. And we cannot insist that it has to work by force. Times are changing. And because times are changing, we must have what I call software updates or spiritual wear updates. When you take your phone and you are using it all day, at a particular point during the day, your phone will be telling you updates, backup. Your phone will then not talk to you anymore. Your phone will shut down. Your phone will then reboot by itself. It will then get all the updates it needs to fit into the current reality of a new day. Well, let me tell you, we are God's handiwork. Our server is the Holy Spirit. He updates us. All you have to do is allow yourself to shut down and be updated. It is not so difficult to understand. I have been running on past film. I've been running on old dreams. I've been running on old desires. It is time for me to sit down and say, okay, Lord, what is the new direction? There is no vision that is not both long term and short term. Long term, Abraham, I will make you a father of nations. Short term, leave your father's house. Go to a place and settle there. Then leave this place, go to this place, go to Egypt, don't go to Egypt. Those are short term. But the long term was the salvation of all souls. And God showed us this and demonstrated it to us clearly in the scriptures that He has both long term goals and He knows how to scale them in short term basis so that He will do a step at a time until He achieves His purpose. This is why we meditate. Going before the Lord, not carrying all the baggage of yesterday and saying, God, you have not done this thing. I've been praying for this thing for 20 years. If you are praying for something for 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, that thing just may not be what God wants for you. And because you didn't meditate and you didn't seek the face of God to know the direction you should go, you are insisting that the what God does not want for you is what you want. And then that becomes a problem. Meditate. Make sure you have had a sound sleep all night so that you don't sleep off. Allow yourself the room to read the scripture. Let the word of God breathe upon your consciousness. Then allow the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord show you fresh paths, fresh pathways, fresh oases, fresh aquifers, fresh channels through which you will be blessed and you'll be a blessing to the world. Yesterday, you may be making popcorn and you may be making money from popcorn. And you may think that, oh, popcorn is the only way I can make my millions. And one day you may lay down talking to the Lord, and the Lord will tell you, go into solar, renewable energy. And that means God is telling you, this river is going to dry. It's time for you to open a fresh oasis. Somebody who does not meditate, he will continue to do popcorn. He will say, since I'm making money here, let me stay here. There was a guy, I've shared his testimony before. First time he came to me, it was about one oil vessel. His vessel got bad and he was trying to fix it. And the insurance on that vessel was costing him about $100 million a day. And when he reached out, we prayed and the vessel was fixed and he was able to pay off the debt he was owing, and the vessel was released to him. I didn't hear from him again for a while. Suddenly, he reached out to me from Colorado in America, told me as we located his family abroad, good things are happening all about, and I was happy for him. And then he told me, I want to pray for me. I want to sign an agreement with the government to be bringing in some oil, whatever, finished product of petroleum resources. And immediately I told him, I said, sir, the Lord told me that in a few months, the refineries they are building in Nigeria will become operative. This will be a bad move for your business. He laughed. Now, this was a man who trusted my judgment when he was in trouble. He said, but I'm going to be a businessman. Leave that thing. That refinery will never see the light of day. Is it not Nigeria? I beg, Raminga, this is a sure IPO. This is a sure AGO. This is a sure. And I kept quiet and invested a lot of money into that thing. And it burnt his hand badly. About a month later, when he would call me to begin to complain about how much money he has lost, I couldn't tell him to his face because he was older than me that even if I was younger, I may not be able to say it. But I wish I could tell him that. Did I not warn you? But I had to just pray with him and help him out so that it will not be the last deal he will ever do in his life because he was almost dead. High blood pressure. But they were chasing me. I've invested a lot of money, and I told him, if he had meditated, you don't need to know all the facts. You don't even need to read the news. You wake up in the morning, and this has happened to me several times. I will have a plan. Oh, I want to go to this place. I want to go to this place. I want to go to this place. I had planned out my day. I like to plan my day so that I'll say I'll spend 2 hours here, 1 hour here, 1 hour here. I have to back by 7, I have to prepare for my class. By 10, I have a class to teach. At 11, I have to pray. I know. But sometimes you wake up in the morning and the Lord will tell you, all the places you want to go, don't go there. Go in this direction. And then you go to the direction God leads you to. And then you realize that, my God, I didn't even see this coming. But it is the Spirit of God that guided you to where you went to. If you don't allow for meditation, consistent meditation as a Christian, at least once every week. I'm not talking about 30 minutes quiet time. I'm talking about spending time before the Lord, just allowing your heart. You know what Apostle Paul called it? He said, making melodies to the Lord in your heart, which was why I said, play some music. because some of us, we cannot sustain things yet. We have not mastered it, so that we can just be still and be saying, "Oh Lord, I bless your name. I give you glory. Ah, rakatabaresus. Hey, coach, you are beautiful. You are the first of 10,000. I love you. I love your work. I love your church. I love the gate of your city. I love your city. I belong therein. Thank you, Father." And you begin to talk to him like that. And before you know it, your eyes open or your understanding open, and you begin to hear from him. So I said, "Okay, get a compilation of some good songs, not the one that will be shaking your head and shaking your body. Just play them. Lie down before the Lord or sit. I like to do it with my windows drawn, curtains drawn. Sometimes I just lock the door of my room. I want to be alone. But I wasn't alone to sleep. I just want to be alone before the Father." And so many times the Lord will show me even things that I didn't ask for. I will see what will happen in the world in the next 2 years, 3 years. I'm not kidding. God will show me this trade agreement will happen. This you will just see the future. And that is invaluable information. So that when people come to you and they say, "But Abinga, I want to go into this particular sector," you can easily tell them, "Hey, that's not the direction the world is heading to. See, God is saying this is direction, so don't go in that direction." They'll say, "Wow, how did you know that?" It wasn't because we are doing forecasting, because in the place of meditation, there will be revelation. Things you need to know, things that you don't even know, you need to know, but the Lord will tell you. And as we are moving on, when the opportunity for you to then make decisions come, those things will guide you into making the right decision. We have done meditations in the past 2 weeks. The results have been outstanding. A lot of good things that I'm hearing, and I'm not talking about testimonies of "I got healed, I got this, I got that." I'm talking about people coming up with fresh, springing forth ideas, instructions that would help their family for the next 10, 20 years. Some that wanted to travel in the place of meditation, God told them, "Don't travel, this is what you should do." And they've started it. So they know that they are safe in God's plan and that they are not going to. And some that didn't even plan to travel, the Lord showed them, "This is the city you are going to. This is what will happen there." And I know one that just last week left Nigeria for Cote d'Ivoire because in the place of meditation, God showed him, "Go to this city, this and that." If he didn't do the meditation, he wouldn't have known God's plan. He will have continued in banking in Nigeria and struggling to make ends meet and struggling with high blood pressure and struggling with life pressure and continuing in a reality that is not of God. If you are going to have a new beginning, you must consult the Alpha, the one who knows the end of all things from the beginning. You must consult him. You must let him write in the volume, show you from the volume of the works. This is my plan. This is my direction. This is what, once you can align yourself with what it says, you will no need to pray, "Father, make me true. Father, give me this. Father, give me that." All those prayers that you are praying to augment the reality that is malfunctioning, you will no need to pray them again. You can then run smoothly in the direction as you desire. I remember having a car one time. The fan belt was always breaking. So whenever I was on a journey, I would be worried because it can happen anywhere at any time. And I'd be like, "What is wrong with it?" They tried to fix it, they couldn't. So one day I talked to the Lord about, I was traveling and I said, "Lord, this car must not misbehave." And the Lord said to me, "Why don't you just ask me for another car? Why this is not supposed to be a problem?" And I just said, "Okay, I want another car. I'm tired because I've done so much." And the Lord then gave me another car. Now, when I drive the other car, I don't worry about fan belt getting broken, you see? Because in the place of meditation, you can easily just, so that this can run smoothly, you will not just be doing firefighting. You know, we do firefighting all the time, praying on this matter, on this matter. Once you have divine direction and you are heading in that direction, your prayer will be thanksgiving. And a lot of praying in tongues. It will not be worry. It will not be problem. Please walk of meditation this week. We are going to do day three of our meditation for the week on Tuesday. This meditation especially is a meditation of thanksgiving. That's the word of God. Meditation of thanksgiving. For we have entered into the new beginning, giving thanks throughout the day. When you lead up for the Lord, let your heart be filled with praise. When you give your offering, it is a thanksgiving offering for the new beginning. And you will then see fresh paths opening to you, new ideas, new focus, new direction. And as you move in that direction, things begin to work for you by the word of God. The hand of the Lord is upon you. You are blessed. You see, you hear, you know by the Spirit. You do all things to the glory of his holy name. Glory be to God for answering our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the blessing of the Lord shout glory.
Glory
to God.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.